Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, the Chaotic Ranch Edition, the one where I am standing as if I'm doing stand-up in front of my friends in the living room, the most annoying I have probably ever been. It's also a Vanderpump Adjacent Edition. And if you came here from Morbid, I have a feeling you know what Vanderpump Rules is. And the only reason I would break script from hearing my voice talking to the wind is with the one and only Kristen Doty.
I've been choking back laughter since you started talking because you are like doing stand-up and I'm sitting on the floor at the ranch. And I really like this. I feel like I'm in a front row seat of Rachel O'Brien's comedy set.
It does look like. That's exactly what's going on here. She has chosen to stand up with a mic stand.
Greg, how do I always record?
This is true. You always record. It usually is more practical because she has like a music stand in front of her with her script on it. And it's like, we're just, you know.
Practical also for breathing issues. I have, you know, like the, I like breathe heavy, yeah, like a truck driver. It's like, I can't sit and like, you know.
Her voice projects more, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, but it is weird. It's like I invited you guys into my living room to perform for you. It would be like, never mind. I'm not going to make an example.
No,
of
when, I really
when
like it. I'm
someone
enjoying
that we
this
know
already.
Amongst the Vanderpump cast played their highlight football video at their house. Anyway, thank you for doing this, Kristen Doty. Okay, I'm going to introduce the other characters in the room. Yes, Kristen does love me as a friend, but I don't know that she would come out to my ranch before my house was done had she not fallen in love with Greg's childhood friend or best friend from college. You guys played some Frisbee shit together. I try not to think
nemesis.
About your Frisbee league.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Rachel.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Luke. That was not the right intro. They played Ultimate Frisbee. Is that what it is?
Yes, we did. In high school, we played against each other in the state championship.
It is hard not to think about Will Ferrell when you think about Ultimate Frisbee. Okay? So when I've heard you guys talk...
Will Ferrell?
Because it seems like a fake sport, even though I know it is a real one. But you guys talk to each other like it's like,
funny.
Like I saw you. You were like the best one at Ultimate Frisbee.
I totally get where she's going with this. Like we have Talladega Nights. We have the ice skating movie. We have the basketball movie. And Will Ferrell would have a movie that's like
Ultimate
his dodgeball or
Frisbee.
Thank you, Kristen.
I got you, girl.
Well, if they had that movie, they would likely cast Luke and I in it as, you know, like not... Like background actors because they need real Frisbee players, but also some with a little bit of acting chops.
Mm. Well,
we'd
I
be
feel
first yeah. on the docket.
I right. feel like you guys would take it too seriously to joke about it because I felt like I hit a nerve and I feel bad. Luke is more than Ultimate Frisbee. And I did not say Luke Broderick,
thanks,
Kristen's,
Rachel.
I think, eventual husband. I've signed off on him after we did their podcast. Kristen, love, sex, and everything else.
Sex, love, and what yeah. else matters. But pretty much the same thing.
Love, sex, and everything else.
Edit that!
Oh, that's staying in.
No, it's staying in.
All right, fine. Whatever. We guessed it on their podcast where we essentially made it about us, which I don't know what's changed right now. But
well, that was the point. You were the guests, which was very difficult for you.
True.
As a host, it was so hard for you to be a fucking guest.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to interview you. Yeah. I got a question for you.
A little controlling over here. But... during the that recording, which you need to go listen to their podcast, it's really good. And I loved their dynamic. So not only did they meet at our wedding.
Behind a tent. Well, first down the aisle. But they weren't walking first.
Yeah.
How many minutes transpired from there to the next phase?
Too many.
Too many? Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Ultimate Frisbee captain.
That's right. Hey, if you guys saw us play Ultimate Frisbee, you would be moved. You'd be beside yourselves.
Kristen saw me. She saw me play in the Winter League
tournament.
And
you guys are now still together.
I did watch Luke play like live action, but I've also seen the YouTube clip on repeat where it's like, Luke Broderick, yeah, like
SportsCenter.
I'm sorry, what? There is one?
Sure is.
Ultimate Frisbee's on SportsCenter. It's in the Olympics. I mean, it'd be one
that's
thing.
That's awesome.
If you were talking about like competitive dodgeball or like even curling, which is also an Olympic sport, super brooming.
Fine. You realize super I'm brooming. Joking. I didn't know it was that. Hey, party on. If I can bet on it, I'm into the sport. Very cool.
I love it. Ping pong. Yeah. During, yeah.
But during the pandemic. One would also understand why I would feel that way about, especially after you hear about their Rich Wheeler beer pong tournament. I don't want to go into that.
We don't have enough time in this podcast for the Rich Wheeler beer pong tournament.
Let's talk about some weird shit.
What do you want to pitch about the podcast? So you talk about, I think it's nice to do it up top and then we go into it.
I mean, Luke and I essentially started this podcast because I've been trying to start a podcast for a year. And I had someone, I thought it was really fascinating to have a man on the other side of it, a straight male, to talk about like the psychology behind like why dudes do what dudes do and what frustrates us as women, and someone who's willing to be like super vulnerable and honest and had a high emotional IQ. And then after we had sex a few times and we started just like talking.
So wait, were you thinking about the podcast before the sex?
No, it was like... It was post-sex and having a long-distance friend with benefit ship, if you will. And we just talked on the phone every day. And I was like, tell me all your dirty details.
The dirty deeds.
That was and crazy. Luke would tell us, you would tell me separately, where I was like, you guys aren't even, like, he knows about that? You know, because I know your entire, like, dating history. Greg knows his. And I would kind of like skate around like things that when Luke was around and you weren't here or whatever. And I was like, oh, wow, you guys tell each other everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's he was willing to talk about it.
Yeah, so. That's the way to start a healthy relationship, right?
Yeah. So I was like, dude, bro, you want to be on the podcast? You want to be a podcast co-host?
Actually, I remember saying, you said the person you had started recording with was all wishy-washy and didn't want to do it. And I said, well, hey, I'm right here. We already talk about this stuff. And
touche.
You go, would you really do it? And I said, yeah, why not? We already talk about this all the time.
And I was like, oh my God, then what if we stop fucking? Or what if we like fall in love and then we break up and then I have to fire you and it's going to be just like so complicated. But here we are and we're doing well.
Okay.
See, they're firing away great on this. No, oh, I said firing away like good. All right. Could Bigfoot break up the relationship? Hmm. Between all of us.
Well, let's find out.
Because that's what we're here to talk about today. So let's I thought, all right, I'm not going to sit here and like tell you guys a story.
I might leave here single.
I think you guys will agree. I don't know.
Well,
I
have to leave here in his car, Rachel.
If Greg agrees with Luke and not me, that I think that's more the...
Marriage could be on the line.
Yeah, that's more the triangulation that might not work. We'll see. But I thought the best way to do this is... I'm obsessively into Bigfoot lately.
Wait, and I'm sorry, really fast. Is this why you're not wearing your wedding ring right now, but Greg is?
No, it's because I literally dig holes to go to the bathroom sometimes out here.
Wow.
It's true. It's definitely a...
it's a function thing.
It's on for maybe 6 hours a day. You know, she puts it on, she takes it off.
To be honest, I think it's sitting over there and she's waiting to be like, he better be on my fucking same page.
It's actually in the safe over there and I've changed the lock until someone... proves themselves.
It's on the line. Do you believe?
All right, let's get to the Yeti of it all.
So, this is the structure of this episode. We're going to talk about Bigfoot stuff. Maybe some ghosts. Maybe some skinwalkers. Shit that I'm into when I'm not talking about real terrifying actual murder. Yeah. So, we're partying tonight. Let's go.
Yeah, this is a party. Some sci-fi shit.
So, I decided that we were going to watch Paranormal Caught on Camera. Because I think the footage, if you guys listen to this, you can't respond to me or watch this. Fascinating footage of cryptids, ghosts. I feel like it can't really be.
Some of the best footage I've ever seen. Definitely this show, out of the woodwork. I've never heard of it before until like a month ago. Rachel and I are out for a birthday. We watch this in the hotel and it's like, oh my God, how have I never seen this clip? Like, this is the best Bigfoot clip I've ever seen. This is the best skinwalker clip I've ever seen. You hear about all these stories all the time, and often there is the argument like, well, I mean, nowadays there's cameras everywhere. How do we not have footage of it? And I feel like this show has somehow dug deep, found the people, got the rights to their, you know, cell phone video, and put together a hell of a compilation of some of the best paranormal caught on camera.
I feel like it's undeniable footage. That's the wild part. I don't know what I believe about it yet, but just watching the footage is undeniable. There's no CGI. This is like, you cannot deny what you're witnessing in front of your eyes. And I think that's what's fascinating. And that's what we can healthily debate about.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. it's also, you can hear the people talking in the background when they're catching it. Most of the videos, it's like they were not expecting to see that. Like, it's like they weren't, they're shocked and like weirded out themselves. Like, what the hell is that? Yeah, it shows it's not planned.
It doesn't look contrived. It doesn't look set up. It doesn't look planned. Even 100%. The guy who's out, he dedicated his life in the late 70s, early 80s to finding Bigfoot. So he's out there with, like, you know, the dad camcorder just searching around the Blue Mountains. And, like, despite the fact that he is out there looking for a Bigfoot with that intention and would have every reason maybe to fake it, like, what's caught on camera, in my personal opinion, is just, like, that ain't no man in a suit.
100%.
All I can say, though, is Luke is sitting there because I already teed it up that I blew it in terms of my argument on this one, and he's been waiting to shut me down. He's just looking at me very sinister, like, oh, it's just really people excited. I know what he's thinking, so let's just get into it because I respect Luke's opinion.
It should be noted that Luke is an avid hunter, you know, outdoorsman, and he's pretty well-traveled, pretty skilled. You know, it's not his first buck hunt. He's killed deer, mountain lion, fish. Today, he shot a carp with an arrow. Kristen and I saw it.
It was very Katniss Everdeen of him. Yeah.
Okay. Now, while mine is less impressive, Luke did admit to me once, or I said, among all of us at the ranch, because it was something, I remember this conversation, I was like, I've probably spent more time in the woods than everyone here. You did not, you said, because I grew up there. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you grew up in the woods, but I mean,
but like, I just walked around.
Yeah, I would
and
come,
looked at things.
Put it this way, in high school, I got excited in the fall semester that I could go squirrel hunting. As soon as I got home, I would go grab my rifle and I'd hunt till sun went down. I was in the woods. I was always doing that sort of thing. I've been in the woods a lot.
Luke, trust me, I trust your opinion more than, I'm just saying I've looked at the woods and been in them, but you're an expert. I wanted to sound like I've done.
I've been so squirrel feeding since I was like 5, so.
I believe that. So.
So. He does. He does have the strongest, like, actual, like, tracking animal, whatever. So
that's fair and true.
The best instincts.
Yeah.
Okay. So
fair. Good call.
This may take an odd turn because we're not. In my mind, this cannot exist as a normal terrestrial animal on this planet for this many years with all this stuff. The footage we just saw is 40 years old, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the best footage you've ever seen. 40 years ago.
This is true.
So with all the updates, I've got trail cams. I've got over a dozen trail cameras. I get all kinds of cool stuff on those.
He was ready for this. Damn it. That's why I'm nervous.
So other than footage of what you guys say it couldn't be, but it could be a guy in a gorilla suit or whatever, and people putting tracks down, what other evidence has shown up? There's no burials. There's no dens. There's no families. There's no... This doesn't exist in a normal terrestrial being. However, because I do believe in aliens, I don't want to rule out the fact that this is a supernatural being. So there's possibility that this does exist in a different way, and that's the way I have to twist my mind to
believe
it.
So you're saying that if Bigfoot does exist, it is just not a mammal that is bound to Earth. It doesn't procreate here. It doesn't live here. It's visiting. It's coming through, whether it be... in a third dimension, interdimensional type of thing, like it's using something we can't understand.
Or a UFO or something.
Or, yeah, that it definitely exists in our plane of existence, but it's not from Earth, and it got here through some sort of spaceship.
Yes, because otherwise we'd find where they're taking shits. We'd find where they're going to bed. We'd find where they bury, where they die. We'd find bones. We'd find something that hasn't been found yet over all these years. 40 years ago is the best footage that's come out
okay,
yet.
Okay, let me ask all three of you something really quickly. Do you think there is more than one Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you'd like to call 100%. It, Yeti? Like, it's not one worse, this one being that we're seeing that could be millions and millions of years old or an alien, right? But maybe they don't procreate, maybe they don't have offspring.
I think that's a great question. I think that, well, part of the thing where I was like, Luke's gonna school me on this so hard because I'm like, yeah, that's really good. That, yeah, sure, there's not like a lot of footage, but I'm like, but I have listened to hundreds of hours of Sasquatch Chronicles, which is a fantastic podcast. Go listen to it. But something about the way these people, they were like Vietnam vets and just like hunters, old men that, and like Luke, my dad doesn't believe in it either. My dad is a logger. He's in the woods every single day. and he's a hunter. My dad is like, okay, Rachel, like, yeah, he says the same thing. Like, wouldn't we see bones? Wouldn't we do that? I'm like, whatever. I get the point. And I, had I not listened to this podcast and heard these guys that did, literally there's some that the host has to say, like, he doesn't want to have his story told or his name attached, but I'm going to give you a tidbit. Like, and there's like 900 episodes. He didn't hire that many actors, whatever. Point being, that's what made me interested in it. And then all the stories colliding. But also what you were saying, a lot of most Native American cultures have a different name for it. And I'm no expert, but I also heard this on a podcast, again, Sasquatch Chronicles. But they all have something for the hairy man or the big man or something.
Like, a chupacabra, dog man.
Yeah.
Skinwalkers.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like no one knows. And the host of that show always asks people, like the question that you asked earlier before we were recording was, well, what do you think it is essentially? And every person that was talking about it had a different answer. Some thought it was supernatural. Some people think it's a human that maybe bred with a primate. Some people,
a glitch in the matrix. For at least at this moment, to hone in on Bigfoot, on a 12-foot tall bipedal ape, like hairy guy.
Yeah.
The Sasquatch. I will say that what's interesting, you're like, why aren't we finding more bones? Like, we do know that at some point in time on Earth, whether you believe in how accurate carbon dating is or not, like, there was a Gigantopithecus, there was a 12-foot tall bipedal ape. We do have those skeletons. What I find interesting is, like, well, there's still, I mean, even though the scientific belief is that Gigantopithecus roamed all over the northern hemisphere, you know, in probably decent quantities. Like, there's still only like four skeletons and maybe only one complete even discovered. And so, like, you know, is it possible that they're intelligent enough and so scarce at this point that, like, they bury their dead and they bury them good? They bury them 12 feet deep and, like,
yeah, you've told me that before, that you think that because they are intelligent enough that...
to decompose the bones, even. I believe that they are
intelligent.
I don't know. To say that they might try to
get
rid of
their... What if it's like Twilight? What if they're like werewolves or like Robert Pattinson, the way that they can move so quickly?
Well, there's caves in Africa where, like, there's piles of bones because there was... And this is 12,000 years ago. This is ancient man. This is, you know, Homo sapien, but it, you know, is very old, still Neanderthals were existing at the same time, and they were throwing their dead into a pit. So, like, maybe these Sasquatch have a similar ritual where it's like all the dead, they take them to this pit. There's one bottomless pit, and we can't find it. That's only just slight. My belief is somewhat still kind of in line with Luke's, that I think if Bigfoot is still here now, he is not a terrestrial being. He's interdimensional. But I believe in that interdimensional travel. So
if it's a terrestrial being,
so Luke,
being,
do you
I have
believe in interdimensional travel? Because here's where I stand is that, like, I don't fully stand by it, and I also definitely don't debunk it by any means. I don't know, so I'm very open to it all. I cannot deny what I see in the footage that I see. So I believe in whatever the fuck I'm seeing right before my eyes. However, I don't even know how I feel about aliens. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But I can't deny extraterrestrial beings either, you know? Like, I just don't know enough.
I guess this is why, like, and to my listeners, if I sound like a maniac on this episode, it's because I have, like, gotten into, like, researching the whatever, and I don't know how to put it into words other than, like, if you hear enough people's, like, stories and stuff that they all sort of correlate. Like, I feel like, you know, we're going to watch this and you're going to see some footage. And I think that that is good. There's so many stories and, like, things that like intersect about, like, their behavior. But when you said they, like, move fast, like, that's one of the things that they say, like, witnesses that have encountered them are like, it looks like they're gliding. Like, they're taking long strides that somehow just, like, they're, like, almost gliding across the ground. It's right. Like, in a bizarre way that no animal moves.
Right.
I don't know.
I just watched Twilight Part 1. That's why I'm thinking about it.
Perfect. I'm glad you studied that beforehand. Way to go.
To back Rachel up on all of the countless hours of Sasquatch podcasts she's listened to, both What If It's True and Sasquatch Chronicles.
Love What If It's True.
There are a lot of very sincere and earnest men and women telling stories that I just don't think they're making up. Now, I'm also a firm believer in kind of a long ancestral collective consciousness and the power of myth within our own brains, to where, like, if you're afraid, I do believe your body has the chemical power to take something from your deep subconscious that's been there through literally thousands of years, told, you know, from tribal leaders, and your great, 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 great grandpa had an encounter with a 12-foot tall bear that's still buried in your DNA somehow, and suddenly the dog man, Bigfoot, Sasquatch is in front of you, and you are experiencing that. You are seeing it.
But you're predisposed to that. That's a brilliant point.
It could have been triggered from a smelly black bear coming through, and then suddenly, like, your brain just takes over and puts it in front of you. I don't know.
It's how I feel every time I drive behind a truck that has, like, a lot of logs or, like, weird things.
I think about Final Destination.
And I'm like, this is real. This is actually real life, and I have to get over the lane because it's so embedded in my brain from a movie. And that's such a tiny thing, but that's all I could think about when you were talking about it. No,
that makes sense. I know, I'm that way when I'm behind any, like, even a construction truck where there's, like, a ladder. I'm like, is that
But it's secure? Like, because it's embedded into our brain is, like, the point.
Yeah, that's a good point. You could have a child, and that child could be, you know, 18 driving and be like, why is this weird? Like, never seen Final Destination. Right.
Generational trauma, kind of like a different play on that.
All right.
So off what you were saying, Greg, though, I don't want people to think that I'm taking away from these people's experiences. I've had some supernatural experiences in my life, some things that I can't fully explain, and I understand that I can't explain them. Yeah. And that's how I take it. So that's why people trying to explain and talk about the social life and how these Bigfoot work and everything like that, just I can't follow it, because I don't, there's nothing out there like that. You've never seen more than one at a time. It's been a single or footprints, you know. That's
do you think that Bigfoot actually could be a thing because you've experienced things that you cannot explain, and you're more annoyed by people trying to explain it with, like,
I think that's a good way to put it, because I've had experiences that I'm saying I can't explain, and people trying to explain or act like they're experts on this thing that nobody can explain. Because I've even got a friend that's had a Bigfoot experience, but that doesn't convince me this is some terrestrial species that's breeding and reproducing on this planet. I don't believe that that's a thing.
That's why I think, like, you could be the most interesting person to talk about this, because you're a skeptic because you have not seen Bigfoot or whatever Bigfoot is. However, you are open, because I remember a story you told me, I don't know, maybe a year ago or something, that was very supernatural. Will you share it now?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about basically the Harry Potter deer story, right?
Do I know this story? I don't think I do.
I'm pretty sure I've told you.
Don't think so. Okay, let me hear story. It.
Okay, so this was very shortly after I moved to Colorado. My friend Colton, who's my roommate, and I are driving back to Indiana. You know, I don't even necessarily remember what we were going back for, but we're driving in the middle of the night. We're in the middle of Kansas on I-70, and we have this deep conversation about God and what God is, and, like, what our experiences in life were involving that, and how we felt, like, purpose driven to come to Colorado. Like, we felt like this was something very significant. And as this conversation, like, peaks, I see an albino buck, a massive deer, big antlers. And first thing I do is I say to Colton, I said, please tell me you're seeing that. Standing in the middle of the highway out in front. And he said, dude, what the fuck is that? I'm like, dude, that's an albino deer or something. I don't know. That's super, like, I didn't have words for it. The car, like, basically drove itself, and, like, I felt like it just did a glide around it. It didn't move from the highway. It didn't spook or anything, but I, like, drove around this thing so smooth and gently. And then we both look at each other, goosebumps, like, almost tears coming down our eyes. Like, was that fucking real? Did we just really just experience that? In the middle of Kansas, nowhere, you know, just fields on either side of us.
I remember the first time you told me that story.
Wait, I've never heard this story. So I have two questions. One, so the the buck deer albino situation. This white animal did not move as you kept driving.
When I first see it in the highway, it's facing across the road. Uh-huh. It turns toward us. And that's when the conversation, I mean, it wasn't that much time. No, I understand.
I'm saying when you essentially,
you know, I'm sure it was seconds from when I saw it.
You gently swerved around it because it stayed in the road.
Yes, it didn't run. It didn't react to me coming toward it.
Were you on mushrooms?
No.
Okay.
That was question two.
That was family.
She was like, that was the second one I had to ask.
Then it was an albino.
I was like six hours into a 16-hour drive.
But it wasn't like, okay, deers get like stunned in like headlights or whatever. But they move out of the road. They don't like just sit there and like let you maybe hit them or not.
I mean, yes, I've experienced that growing up in Indiana. But they typically, when you pass them, if they are frozen in the headlights, they'll jump or they'll run away.
That's what I'm saying. They move.
As you're like at the past the point where you would have hit them, but you avoided them, they will take off.
Yeah. But it almost like and like a, I don't know what it would be like. Something God moved you dear. Around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but something moved you around it that was like peaceful or something.
Well, I think the conversation they were having prior to this encounter was also very significant. And also, you should know that the chance of seeing an albino deer is 1 in 30,000.
One in 30,000 deer sightings?
Yes. So okay, that's how common it is in deer. 1 in 30,000 deer are albino. So like that is rare, very rare. And then for that to also line up with the contents of your conversation,
it's crazy.
I just think, I put that on like we can try to put science into a math equation and explain everything. But
this is Seven Deadly Sinners. God exists somewhere in this podcast.
Paranormal. You know, I don't care what you believe in, but that I feel like that was set up by.
Yeah, no, I totally
agree. I see a deer or an antelope every single day. Every single day.
I believe in signs.
On our property or driving down that road, especially if it's dark out. I mean, without fail. Every single day. Never seen an albino deer. I don't know if that's a good like sample study, but I find that very fascinating for him. I know there's a lot of stories where people were like, okay, they've been on a long drive, so people can argue, you know, okay, were you just hallucinating? But it was two people don't necessarily normally hallucinate together.
Totally. And I know for a fact, the first thing I said when I saw it is, please tell me you're seeing that.
Right.
It's like, tell me I'm not losing my mind when I'm looking at right now.
And to let your listeners know, because my listeners know, that Luke does drives that are that long very, very often.
Sleepy,
like, I must be going kind of mental because I'm so tired type of a thing.
Yeah.
That is...
Like, he would know to pull over before he, like, got to a hallucination stage.
From something.
Right.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. You'd pull over if you were that tired.
Luke is no stranger to a 1,000-mile drive.
100p. Yeah.
Nope. See? Just so you know, you hear the Wild West train going by, and then Greg's dad is shooting guns outside. This is it's Colorado. You know, this is what's happening.
I love the goddamn ranch. This is the best.
I lied about the shooting guns, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. So if you hear any weird sound, this is Vanderpump Rules on a ranch, because you know what? As if that was clean audio. You know what I mean?
Right. We messy as fuck. We're just chatting up a storm.
Just chatting.
That's all we want to do.
So now we're going to watch a clip from Paranormal Caught on Camera that is probably some of the better Bigfoot footage I've seen. I mean, it's on par with the Patterson film, but this is where I feel like I shot myself in the foot. If I was going to run for office of Bigfoot, now Luke's going to win on this one. But here we go.
It walks so human-like. I mean, this does not look like a gorilla, an ape. This is a very human-like walk. Like a moody, right there. Now it's frozen, like we paused it. And it's like the head is turned toward us. Is that a tail?
It's looking at you kind of like an animal wouldn't look at you like, what's up, dude? Like, he's looking at you like acknowledging.
It's very human-like the way that it walks, though. Like, apes and gorillas do not walk in that same manner. Like, they walk with their limbs. Like, I'm very into mammals. And this is
walking.
Well,
you also asked earlier, you said, where is this at? And then you said, oh, they don't exist there.
Right.
Oregon.
Right.
So there would be. Unless I don't know.
And this animals is not well? A human in a suit.
It's certainly no other animal that also exists in Oregon.
100%
not. That is certain.
Right.
It's either someone in a costume that they have specifically made, because that's not a gorilla costume.
No, not at
all. It's so hulking. The middle is the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Big tree. This thing is...
It's like stacked like a freaking the biggest linebacker you've ever seen, but without the neck and the traps, if you will. You know, like, is that the muscle from the neck?
Yeah. Like, it's Brian almost like Urlacher this weird skinny neck and a smaller head. It's a costume.
He's not tall enough.
Yeah, I would agree. Even Brian Urlacher is not tall. No, he's the Bears.
I know. Just joking.
Old Bears middle linebacker. But he also
is, when you said stacked, like, he is, but he's not moving like an athlete. Like, it's...
Not at all. And he's not moving like a man.
There's like something like slumping. Like, he's definitely powerful, but it's just sort of like a
very hunched over, but human like walk.
Yeah, and I think mannerisms. But Greg's right. It could be someone in a suit, or
I don't think it's another animal.
Suit. I think it's much too large. What do you think, Luke?
I think it's someone in a suit. He's looking at his feet when he's walked. Other than looking over right now,
40 years ago,
he's looking at his feet. He's looking down. Watch. He's walking looking down.
Yeah.
He's looking down, looking at his feet, meaning he is watching his steps so he doesn't trip and fall. That is what is going on. You don't watch your feet unless you're stalking or you're trying not to trip and fall.
Okay.
And
well, those are the only two times you watch your feet when I walk.
I walk around this ranch all the time, and I'm just fine looking feet. At my phone or looking at anything. I don't look at my feet when I walk.
Exactly.
Unless I'm looking for a snake. No. That might just be their mannerisms.
Oh, what? They're trying not to trip because they're in a big costume?
Luke, I look at my feet.
I know, and you fall all the time.
Right, but so I look at my feet when I walk, and I'm not wearing a costume.
I know, but I'm saying you're trying not to fall is why you're looking at your feet. And that's.
So you're saying this is an actor in a costume that has not been in the woods a lot.
This is a person in an uncomfortable costume that has to look at their feet to try to maintain. They don't look down. No animals look down. They look forward. They look to where they're going, not at their feet. He's looking at his feet like the whole time. It's not because, a freaking animal.
But we're not saying it's an animal.
Know. You said it's supernatural. We don't know.
Exactly.
If it's true, I don't know.
And that first big long step, that looks so human to me.
No, but it's also very like the hunched over, almost like there's too much weight in the legs for him.
It's the upper body. But that's a good no. Like sorry, I'm changing what you were saying.
Sorry,
but it's yeah. Their body's not proportioned.
The body is not proportioned. Is what? Yes, Rachel. Thank you. I'm acting it out right now, you guys. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like
I knew what you meant.
It's lumbering, like, very lumbering.
Yeah, like as if there's like a backpack, but there's definitely not like a huge backpack.
Person in a furry fat suit.
But no. That's what they say when they go. They like so people have seen them that look like that. They look lumbering, but when they need to get away, they sort of they don't look athletic, but they glide. I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to be the PR for Bigfoot, but I'm the PR for Bigfoot.
Skeptic, how do you explain a gliding human in a gorilla suit, if you will?
That's not what I'm looking at, so I don't know that I can explain that.
Which is why I wanted to...
What I'm looking at is a person in a gorilla, not a gorilla suit, a custom Bigfoot furry fat suit, looking at his feet for all but a split second when he looks toward the camera, which is when they pause it.
And he decided to just be in this random forest in Oregon, thinking, maybe someone will see me.
No, trust me. Trust me. There are plenty of people that make fun of these crazy Bigfoot people that are actually in the woods all the time. That would be like, guys, drunk one night, they're like, I made a suit. Let's fuck with them.
So this is naked and afraid, and he's like, I'll spend 40 days out in Oregon without food or water.
They're like, hey, he's been out there every Tuesday the last couple weeks. You guys want to pull the suit out? Let's go for it. Let's do it.
Just meaning like naked and afraid, they have to spend all this time out in the woods without like anything with them. So you're saying this guy, perhaps, this actor, perhaps for fun, decided to just hang out in the woods of Oregon with nothing but a giant fuzzy suit that he had all this money to make. Like he had all this money to create this suit like back in the 90s or 80s or whatever this was.
Okay, sorry. I still think it would be possible if you were determined that they did even more. I would say the practical
effects.
If that
were true, why wouldn't this guy bank on it now? Do you know how much fucking money he would have made?
He probably tried to, and it was maybe debunked. I don't know. I have to say that Luke's observation about the looking forward is pretty... eye-opening. I didn't catch that. That's definitely a hunter's take. Animals look forward. Now, I would say that, I don't know, I feel like I've seen some apes.
If I see a deer and a deer walks by me, a deer turns just its head.
Well, deer is also, when they, their eyesight's split and apes are different. And so, like, I think even gorillas, you would see them looking down or
this, we don't know if monkeys. This is an animal-man combo or...
Correct.
Like, they're moving in a way that we're not used to. But so you can't put them against the same, like, sample test.
It's right. Too casual. It's no reaction. It's like expected. It's like this thing expected to see him there. And it even says to start this, his dad had been going to this, you know, water spot for years, and it was a particularly dry time of the year that it's like he was checking this spot where footprints were active, hoping to see this thing. It was like a pattern this guy had. It would be very easy for someone to set this
guy. Why wouldn't this guy come out now when he could literally be like a multimillionaire?
How could he be a multimillionaire? He's still laughing about
this. He would get paid to go on the Today Show. He would get paid to go on all of these shows and do this press tour.
If he was the guy in the suit?
Yes. Here's the friend of the guy.
Here's the thing.
If it was the Patterson film, yes. But this isn't like, this is not the Pioneer video. It's not the popularized. The Patterson video is the famous one. This
totally. I'm just saying, why wouldn't this guy come out at some point and be like, ha, 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 when this went so fucking viral, you know?
Because he and his buddies go, we take this to the grave, right?
Yeah,
and
no one like, does
yeah,
that.
Let's do that. That's bullshit.
I'm they standing up now.
Because I care about Epstein this. Because I care about this. We will either insert that audio that I want to insert, or... Even the people that discovered the Patterson film, or the guys that were in the woods that go up to that hunting camp, they're hunters that go up to a hunting camp. Also, like, you know, the audio, the famous audio.
Yeah.
Insert that, whatever. Weren't people even trying to find it? And the whole thing is that in many of these encounters, again, PR for Bigfoot, the Bigfoot, he was stunned to see them. They think that they're kind of like, this is their lair. And eventually they retaliate. Like, they don't want to be seen. I'm, again, speaking for him.
You know, he needs to have a voice, Rachel.
Like, oh, shit, you're there? All right, I'm going to get out of here. And then usually something weird happens. Like, rocks are thrown. Or there's wood knocking. Or they start talking in a language that people say that it's...
Weird hoots and grunts.
Yeah.
I have a question about Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, because I don't know as much. Have you guys ever seen footage or photos in researching this of a face, like what the head or the face looks like? Because I've never only seen drawings of what people like assume.
That's
you know?
A good question. I'm only interject. I've never seen a photo, but of the encounters these people have experienced, it is weird that there's probably like three different types that they say. Like some of them say that they're actually extremely athletic looking. Like the ones that have been caught on camera are very like hulking. But some of them say that, I'll go into the face in a second, like they kind of have the body of an athlete, sort of. It's weird.
Like the triangular shape of an yeah. athlete where like the shoulders are wide.
Yes, but they're like 8 feet tall. Right. And but there's still a weird movement about them. But a lot of them say, which is so weird, I actually think all of them said they have straight human-like teeth. There's no canines.
Oh, like interesting.
It's like
a flipper from Toddlers and Tiara.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There yeah. You're funny. Sorry, that was funny.
Luke, a flipper is like basically fake teeth. You just, they flip them in. So like my teeth, they're all fake. They're perfectly straight. I have canines because I made them put canines in to look like a yeah. normal human, yeah. anyway.
You're funny. Yeah, they have, like, perfectly straight teeth. Like, they look like feral,
piano
sort of.
Teeth.
But they have teeth. And then a lot of them will say that they have very, like, kind of straight, angular features. Like, sometimes their face looks very, very human.
Like, strong jaw, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Symmetrical.
Symmetrical, thank you. Strong jaw, symmetrical, piano teeth.
I think this story, and I'm just going to have us link it in the show notes. I'm not going to not say what it is. I think the story that was the most compelling was of a man, and it was on Sasquatch Chronicles, a guy that held in this secret for 40 years. He was like 18. He thought he shot a man So it was like an encounter where he felt like he had to shoot him. Like he felt like he was going to die.
He was terrified.
Yes. He was like 18 years old. He never told his wife later, his kids, his family. He went because he was unsure. He's like, did I shoot him? A man or a...
Or an animal of some
sort.
Yeah,
it was like 8 feet tall, but it had the face of a human.
But it was definitely furry and... Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
So what did he say 40 years later?
He actually went on that podcast because he was probably researched it all his life. Like, did I do something? Like, what happened? Whatever. And then this... I think he probably knew that other people had weird encounters and then finally told his story. And I don't know. But he said, like, he truly held on to it.
Do you remember what area of the world, or was it in the United States?
I think
States?
It was the South. I'll link what episode. What?
Where did he bury the body?
He shot it into a quarry.
He did not bury the body. He actually went back, and there was, nature people around, whatever, the park rangers?
DNR with
like, the next day or something?
Tape.
Yeah. Like,
but
something.
It was, the story goes that the Sasquatch character ran off. He did shoot him, but then he ran off and like climbed down a quarry, so he couldn't look over the edge and couldn't really get him. He didn't know if he killed him or not.
So what did the park rangers find? Was there hair?
He was worried
that he shot a human and they were investigating. Totally. So he saw him from afar and fucked off, and then
he went back and saw that they were checking on it.
Is there any anything we can Google or look up about what those park rangers found? Because
no,
they had the
costume. This story is lost to time. This like happened 40 years ago in the middle of nowhere, Alabama.
So it would be good to write a bunch of these stories or a bunch of people to lie about them, but who knows?
I'm just curious, like, if there's ever, like, a hair, hair found. Like, we see, as we're watching this, there was, like, these footprints that are clear as day footprints. Like, I guess it could be from a weird costume or a foot or whatever, but not really.
Well, but maybe this is why this show, The Paranormal caught on Camera, because we're debating Bigfoot, and that was like a... Because you could... Okay, here's the thing. You could dress in costume and do that, but also I guess you could pull a string on a chair, which... You can do anything, but I think it is... I think the evidence is in the first person's, like, belief in their encounter and the evidence that they have. Yeah, that was as that went over. I think you have to believe a human. Not enough people. I don't believe that they're snake oil salesmen. In terms of like, okay, Chris,
really
good example. The Long Beach, my birthday.
Hold on, wait a
what did we capture
you
on
investigate
camera?
Investigate snake oil salesmen for like the. What
do you, but I don't believe that there's this many of. Well, and I would be the person to perhaps. I'm going to call myself an expert at this point. Discern between a snake oil salesman, they follow a playbook, and multiple people. They have seen like a ghost or a UFO or a cryptid or something. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're all hallucinating. I mean, Kristen, when we were on, what is it, Queen Mary. I've shown that photo to be the one of Zach where he got demonically possessed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his fault. I mean, whatever.
It was a very odd, dark shadow, like not from any of us. It was like this weird orb shadow.
It wasn't even an orb.
It's like a substance.
I know what you're saying.
Like,
it's evil looking.
It was absolutely terrifying.
That is the best haunted capture. Rachel showed me a lot of things, and I think 9 times out of 10, it's a lens flare. It's a reflection.
Not the voice at the St. Nicholas Hotel in Cripple Creek.
Even that is less confounding than
the Queen Mary.
The photo of Zach, he's outside of a door, and there is clearly a like black smoky substance seemingly coming out of the door.
Yes. And it was the door that they don't
the
list.
Yeah, it's the one.
Like the worst murder or something happened.
Yeah.
But we found it.
And I'm confident
so
you guys did.
Chris and I are right.
No, well, I'm telling you, I agree, because Rachel and I have also been in New Orleans. We did like a murder, like haunted tour thing where they like do fake you out. And I was like a little nervous because I don't like ghosty things. But then we found like magnets behind doors.
So
our like beepy thing went out. And I was like,
you called the guy out, the tour guide on camera. Kristen literally was like,
on Vanderpump Rules,
show me where the magnet is.
I was like, where else are the magnets? This is bullshit. But
to be perfectly
Queen
honest,
Mary,
I was gullible. I was into it. And then Kristen was like, what's happening here? She didn't buy it.
But when we were on the Queen Mary, we also did a tour where I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, people die. Yeah, whatever. Skeptic. Is there going to be knocking somewhere? when we saw that figure in that photo, that was not
a tour. That was our self-guided 2 a.m. tour.
That was just us roaming around the halls. And that was fucking terrifying. So, just saying. I believe, and my energy healer, my tarot card reader, my therapist, my everyone has told me, like, you know, I was like, I believe in it, but I will push it out of my, like, I don't want to ever see it.
You don't
want to
give it power.
Nope. Nope. I certainly do not. So I have my energy healer come over. She cleanses my house. I'm like, I don't want to see my grandma. I don't want to see the lady that lived here 60, 70 years ago. I am not open to spirit. Do not show yourself to me. Don't fuck with my house. Don't throw something off of my mantle.
Well, speaking of spirits, I believe in you. Speaking of spirits and ghosts and witches and the lady who lived there 65 years ago and your grandma, it all kind of adds up to what the Navajo believe could be, you know, causing maybe all of these cryptid experiences, chupacabra, Bigfoot, that it could be a skinwalker and it's actually an evil person who has...
Can I make noise?
All right, so as I was saying, that it's possible that that skinwalkers could account for all of these cryptid sightings, that it's actually a human who is cursed and or willfully evil, who has become a witch doctor, who has through, you know, as the folktale goes, through essentially killing a member of their own family and consuming them, been able to retain enough negative energy that they can then embody the spirit of dead animals and they keep those skins with them, whatever. So you start to wonder, like, okay, is, you know, are all these creatures,
like, could a chupacabra or a dog man, could they all be a version of the Navajo legend or truth?
Yeah, and not that they're all Navajo, but that it is essentially a human doing some dark magic.
An immortal human. It's a, like, yeah, a, I mean, an energy that won't go away because they claim the skins of their
victims. Yeah, that's fascinating. Right. Yeah. I actually didn't even know.
So they could have been around at the time of the giant Pithecus or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to only attribute it to Navajo, but they kind of are the ones that, and they're very sensitive to it. I think I'll add this for you guys. My listeners have heard this probably if they've listened to every episode. Navajo Rangers, so they're like actual like FBI type agents or whatever, but they work on Navajo reservations. So their job is not only to, you know, stop robbery or whatever, things, but they also are there to investigate weird occurrences, cattle mutilation, skinwalker activity, whatever. I watched this whole, and I aired it on part of a podcast where they literally, during a like public talk, say, I want to say, if you are sensitive to this, you know, if you're part of the Navajo Nation, you might want to leave the room. And then they go, we're about ready to talk about skinwalkers. Like, it's something very terrifying. It's
that right now, this is like my first introduction to skinwalkers was tonight and today, us watching this. And me Googling it and all of that. And right now, in this moment, I feel like that makes the most fucking sense, to be honest.
And when you say that video, I mean,
and I believe that, very much in like dark magic and evil spirits. And I do believe in all of that.
And that's so, kind of, yeah, that's how they come about. Yeah. Like, it's
so confusing. In Navajo culture, like, you are not supposed to even utter the name. It's not skinwalker in Navajo, obviously. Right. It's a much more complex word, but you don't say it, you don't talk about it, because they feel like that's giving it energy.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's a serious thing, like what she's mentioning, like these Navajo Rangers, when they go to big panels and trade shows that talk about cryptids and stuff to speak, you know, they let everyone know, like, if you're Navajo, we're about ready to go into it. So
then they can leave the room respectfully and not take on that energy.
Yeah. There's some wild. Very, very... if you want to hear I can say it in a sentence. The fact that it could be human that turned bad or chose to turn bad. There's a specific story of someone that a skinwalker was essentially running next to their car at the same pace. They hit the animal, you know, so somehow a dog man or a coyote or whatever it was running at the pace of an 80 mile an hour car. They accidentally hit it. They go to check and see what happened. And it shows the face of a like a neighbor of theirs.
Whoa.
It like went to human form.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like furthermore, I believe the story goes like all the way to like that guy was seen out like limping, like had a leg injury.
Yeah, I think you're
after
right.
After the fact.
Like he was taken over, turned back. Yeah. And he probably doesn't even remember or know what the fuck happened.
I think you're right. I remember he said, but we're not or getting maybe it.
I have no
right.
idea about the consciousness level of whether or not okay. if they can remember when they go into essentially werewolf mode or not. Right. But
I would say that this video on Paranormal caught on camera is probably the scariest thing I've ever seen. Like, I've seen like YouTube clips where I'm like, okay, what's a skinwalker? And I'm like, it's like a weird, like, you know, night vision looking thing. Whatever this is, let's talk about it.
Chrissy, this is the weirdest
or
clip.
Luke, do you want to recap? Who wants to recap it?
Yeah,
let's have Luke, because he is the natural-born skeptic and seen a lot of stuff in the woods.
Yeah, okay. you're the best one to explain what these animals look like in the wild.
Okay, so this section of Paranormal Caught on Camera is about the skinwalker caught on camera. So basically what you see at first, to me, looks like a black panther in the live footage. It's so dark. It looks like it's this long tail, this long fluffy tail. And you can tell it's like being live recorded. It's not super steady and everything. It kind of gets up to move and you're like, oh damn, that's definitely a wolf. Definitely a wolf. Like, that's the first thing that crossed my mind. As it moves up, I'm like, that's kind of an odd, I don't even know how to describe it. There was like an odd sheen off of the animal. Like, it just shined in a weird way. It goes up over the hill and seemed to, I don't know, make some kind of weird shift. It just seemed like it went from cat.
Like to, shapeshiftery. For
yeah,
sure.
Super so that- shapeshiftery. It seemed like it went from panther to wolf to I don't know and disappeared.
And that sheen you think was maybe the transformation? Because I actually didn't notice that part.
It was
I thought
weird,
it was like
though.
A sunlight thing on
well,
it.
Luke's
but...
definitely seen a lot of animals, you know, in the wild and a lot of, you know, sun.
I trust him more than anyone
off
with that.
Of fur in the same way that happens in this video. So for him to not think it's a trick of the light, that it does seem that it shifts not only shape but size. It seems that it's two times the size at the very beginning of the video to where it goes over the ledge, in my opinion.
Agreed. No, when it goes from forms... the panther looking to the wolf is very wild.
I think it also is... Because when you said panther looking, I can see how you would see that. But it seems to be like laying weird on the rock, almost like, I don't know, like someone
very
just like...
feline-like, though, to me, with the long... It has the tail. It's very feline-like.
I see, I don't feel like I see a tail. I feel like I
really?
See...
Really? I see the tail. Look at that. Yeah. That's the tail. To me, it's either a man...
Oh, okay.
Crouching down.
Now I see it. I thought it was a longer leg. Okay, now I see it.
But, like, that's got the tail. Like, that looks like, yeah, a black panther. Like, okay. There's the front leg. There's the back leg.
I didn't see it that way. I thought it was, I thought it was more like four, you know, two legs, two arms, kind
of
like.
Lots of muscle you can see there.
Shoulder muscle.
Shoulder muscle. Like, that right there at the very end.
Yeah, the shoulders, the hunch of it all. It's odd. So like, it's maybe that's where it's about to change form.
But that doesn't...
So shoulder muscle is a big characteristic of cats because they grab with their claws, right? Dogs don't do that.
The way
dogs
felines
run,
walk.
Yeah.
Bite and bite. Yeah,
that's
so the big shoulders,
not a dog. Like,
a big shoulder like that is not common.
That's either a human head or a cat head right there. Like, the guy could be laying down, he's full of fur, and he's got a tail somehow, or it's a cat.
I also think that cat-like animals, like a, you know, whatever, mountain lion or jaguar, whatever... They're more stealth than that. Like, that looks like an awkward... That looks like someone pretending to be... You know what I mean? It looks like there's something very unnatural. There's a reason why you don't see those types of cats very often. They're very good at hiding. And they're slick. They're whatever.
Seems
this is just like someone was drunk and went like, all right, I guess I'll do this now.
But then riddle me this. So this is the first moment, right? We're seeing this panther, as we think, right? Looking thing. We don't know what it looked like right before this. So maybe it's now shape. Maybe it was something right before this shape shifting into this cat-like thing. That's why it's a bit awkward, because very clearly right after this, it is a fucking wolf.
Like, it's so weird when it becomes that. It's like, okay, those are distinct four legs, like standing up like a wolf or a dog or whatever. Man, hey, we're gonna post this on our Instagram.
It looks very wolf-like,
and it goes
and the shoulders are gone.
Yeah.
And it's shining.
What
it looks like something's
there?
Coming out of its top right here almost.
And there's no tail. Like that kind of long tail.
Suddenly no tail.
And now it's like swift
actually,
and moving
it almost
quickly.
Looks like a warthog right there.
Does have a big snout. What do you think now, Luke?
Well, see, like right before it goes over, I wish I could.
It looks like a wolf as it disappears.
I agree.
To me.
Wait, I lost where it went.
Went
go back.
Through that crack. Here, it'll play it again.
There 100% is not, there are not large black wolves in this area in Texas.
But that's it doesn't really look black when it comes, like after this shift, I feel like.
It's more gray.
It also becomes very athletic. It's like, oh, now I know how to get right up on a hill like that.
Agreed.
Like, not a cat at that point.
100% not a cat.
I see warthog. I kind of see the warthog or bear.
It. Yeah.
Oop. It's like right before. I wish I could just have one frame before because I swear the whole thing is like golden brown and not black anymore.
That's
like,
what
goes,
I thought,
it goes
too.
Right there, Rachel.
And very
you can still see it right there.
I see it.
Well, that can, all be from, just the sun reflecting at different angles on. Some animals do change the color that you like... interpret them to be based on the angle that the sun is reflecting off of them. So
I just kind of feel like we didn't get to see right before it was this panther type animal. Like what would it, if we had a frame before that, you know, it's very wild how it changes so, so quickly, so briefly.
I think we
could,
yeah.
By shape, by like their muscular, the tail, the everything.
I feel like I could watch this over and over again, and I feel like we're going to put it up on our Instagram or just watch this brilliant show. I want to hear Luke's, now you've watched it over and over again. We heard your first take. What's your final take? I'm not going to ask you to say about Bigfoot.
Luke's final take.
What's Luke's final take on this?
My final take on the Skinwalkers. What I love is that it is already accepted and explained to be a supernatural being, and that is something I can wrap my mind around.
Because you believe in the sci-fi of it.
Because I do believe. Like I said, I've experienced, I didn't share all the stories and the experiences I've had with things that I can't explain. And I think there's a part of accepting things that you can't explain in life and then like maintaining your own peace and not trying to be like overly confident and being like, I know the answers to this, when you don't.
The answer is the question.
Exactly.
So you can't explain, as a hunter, any animal you've ever seen do whatever just happened there.
I would not be able to explain that. I will say a little tidbit that was, it's kind of funny. My little brother did not hunt very much, but one time he went out hunting and came back and said he saw a wolverine in southern Indiana where he was hunting, which that's not a thing at all. No wolverines are in Indiana anywhere. But he didn't describe this animal and he saw something weird. So we believe that. And we believe he saw something that he can't explain what it was.
There we go. See?
And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. High five.
If we can agree on that, we're on the same page.
Yeah. See, you were, thank you. Now, I think I've done Bigfoot
so
and Skinwalkers some PR.
In the wild that exist that we can't explain.
Yes. And that is, I think, fascinating. It's a great way
you
to
heard
like.
You heard it here first, folks.
And the
it's
four
a great,
of us
it's a great
agree.
Way to not think that you know everything in the world. I'm talking about all of us. That just like, shit, we're not the most important people in the world. There's shit out there that like.
Yeah, and none of us are breaking up or getting divorced because we all agree that there are things we cannot.
Why are we getting divorced?
Explain.
What's happening?
Yeah, well, that's good. This was a relationship exercise that we just utilized through cryptids.
We're in this together now. This is my cult.
Oh, now I'm in a fucking cult on the ranch.
Wait, you didn't even know. That's how they get you in. It's a slow burn. Slow boil. Now everyone, see I turned Luke?
Yeah.
There we go. Party on.
Now I'm in the ranch cult.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. You know, this was a fun episode. All right? We were going to, when Kristen was first visiting, I was going to do the cult of Tom Sandoval, and the only member is Tom Sandoval when Scandoval was happening. But then just things got haywire, and I was like, I think I'm more into Bigfoot. So this worked out.
What if we start seeing some weird shit when we walk outside right now? If we do, you guys, I'm grabbing a microphone and Greg, you better grab that computer.
No, just put that lav. Greg got a lav mic on.
Skinwalker Ranch is pretty scary, but it has been, you know. See, we have Mike Hunter on this ranch, which could be way scarier. Not to mention Porsche.
Put that on Instagram. And I don't want to even.
For all the listeners at home, if you're lucky enough, we'll put Porsche on.
I'll post a picture of Porsche because she's staring at
this
me right now.
This is the only thing I'll get divorced
Proof
over.
Proof of a chupacabra.
Only thing I'll get divorced over. Just look on Instagram, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. Until next week. Love you. Bye.
All right. Wonderful. Porsche.